We need rain, y'all. So don't despise the conditions today. And then I see some people might have taken advantage of the conditions today and decided to sleep in. I'm just kidding. But other than that, it is a good day every day to be with God's people in His presence. Amen?
Amen.
So let's stand on our feet and let's just praise God. Everything comes from Him. Praise God. Our scripture reading we read together is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, because we need to get right who is the one to be praised, who is worthy of all praise.
All
right. Let's read together from the New Living Translation. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. For God, in all His fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. Amen. It's so much in there. It's so much in there. But aren't you glad that God did it? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to do it? Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You because You loved us so much that You did give Your one and only Son for us. But even so much more than that, that Son right now is seated next to You, where He can assume all the roles that He has, being omniscient, omnipresent, and He's all-powerful. He's over all creation because He created everything. Through him and by him, there was nothing that was created that was not created by him. So we come today to hallel the name of Jesus, to worship the one true living God through his son. We come today as your people together, the body, seeking to be ruled by our head, who is Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the relationship. We thank you for the redemption. We thank you for the blood. We thank you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Amen.
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 Switch. Lights is here.
Seated far above. That means
God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. Is it true? I mean, is it true? Do you know yourself who your God is? See, I think a lot of times that's why people get confused and they put men in that position. Because they really don't know what it means to be omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, at the same time. Because see, the same God who is here with us right now is in India, Africa, Asia, in Ukraine, in Texas. He's everywhere. I don't know no man can do that. Shoot, most of them can't even get here. I'm talking about humans, not man, not men, mankind. So why would we worship anybody who is less than our God? Who do we lean on? Who can we lean on? Nobody else. Because our God's arms, they never fail. He can't fail. Yeah, we're going to reach back. We're going to give him the name. Because we should be enjoying the fact that we get the fellowship with this God. We get to eat from this throne. Ask him. Praise him. Other folks, you got to kill somebody. Amen. Because all of us ain't, look, a lot of us going through some stuff. Okay, just getting up, living in this world every day to get out of bed. You going through some stuff. Y'all see how crazy it is. But isn't it good to know that the arms you're leaning on won't give out, are not too short? Isn't it good to know that? So that's why when we go to prayer, we think about, we meditate on, you know, the psalmist, there's a term in Psalms, it's Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And it means stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. So when we stop and think about our God, he's worthy to be praised because of how good he is, even in the midst of things not being so good. When it's bad, we get to lean. When it's good, we still get to lean. And we lean on somebody who's not going to give out under the weight. Amen. So as we go to prayer, let's remember who we're praying for. Always, definitely, Running for Christ Ministries. You can have a seat. Our deaconess, of course, Lisa Thornton and the rest of the Frierson family as they continue to go through the process. Deaconess Anita Chambers and family is again as they're going through the process. Loretta, Kimberly, Oliver and the family as they're going through the process. Our mothers, it's always good to have Mother Persia, Mother Marilyn in the mix. Mother Irma was here last Sunday and I saw that she got out this week. Mother Cheryl, we don't forget our mothers. Yes, let's pray for Deacon Eric Reed as he goes into surgery on this Tuesday. That the Lord heals and he quickly returns to us. Please, 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 please pray for government at every level. And I'm going to say this, vote. Get out and vote. We need us to vote this year. And also, introducing Running for Christ Ministry, welcome our future junior praise team member. This is Gia Grace.
Okay.
Who was born on the 18th, her grandma in the back grinning. Yes. I see it looked like Lil Sharon when I saw the picture. Praise God. Y'all see, next Sunday we go dedicated 5. And too bad she came when she did. She'd be number 6. But that means the rest of us have a standard to live up to. We got to represent Jesus to all these little ones. But we welcome our Isaiah's sister, Alana's little sister, to this family. Amen. With that, Pastor, it is altar call. You know, he assigned the Sundays. He just don't sign who do the Sundays. He forget he in the mix. So our pastor is coming for altar call. All right. And then after he comes, we'll be back with
him. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not a library.
Spirits,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we've already heard, this is our I see what y'all running back out there.
Stop snacking.
And then just go right back to what she was doing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Keep in your mind the things that trouble you, that cause you to want to lose faith in God, the things that cause you to wonder, where is God? Why has God allowed me to go through this? This is our opportunity to bring before the Lord those things that trouble us, the things that make us want to stay woke at night, and the things that make us not, amen, want to praise God like we should, but make us wonder. So let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today. We thank you, first of all, for this day that you allowed us to be in. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have made us co-workers with you in the spreading of this gospel. But Father, we serve you like Jesus did in a world that is run by Satan. So Father, we find ourselves as living the Christian life in an unchristian world. But you told us over in 1 Thessalonians 11 and 12 how to do it. You said that we should seek to lead a quiet life. That means no matter what happens around us, whatever our circumstances or situations are, we remain quiet. We stay still and we wait to see your salvation come through to solve the situation or the problem.
Okay.
You told us, Heavenly Father, that we should work with our own hands so that we can be blessed by you to get the things that we need to live in this life. And so that you can use us in that place to again be your co-worker in spreading the gospel. So we can help those who work with us in those places to understand you better and to actually see you in action, because, Father, we are in the workplace, work like we're working for you and not like for the world, as you told us in Colossians 3:22 to the end. We work, Jesus, because we know that you promise us an inheritance if we work for you. If we work like we're not working for them, but actually realize we're working for you, we're representing you, we are to advertise and display you, bring you glory in that place. So we know you'll bless us, that we'll have the things that we need. And Father, you said that we should mind our own business so that we can stay focused on the prize, so that we can stay focused on the goals that you have set before us to reach. We should stay focused on our short range, our mid range, and long range goals for you, Father. And you said, Lord, if we just did that in this unsaved world, those who are on the outside of Christianity, those who are not followers of Christ, would see you in the way we live if we advertise and display you in all our actions in that quiet life, minding our own business, working with our own hands. We get the respect of those who are outside. And then you made us this promise that we would not be dependent on anybody. It is not to say, Lord, that we won't ever need anybody, but it means that we can depend on you to find somebody, if you want to help us out in our current circumstance or situation. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have made all of these provisions for us. We thank you for your word. It is a lamp and a light. It's a lamp to our feet so we don't trip and stumble everywhere we go. And it's a light to the pathway that we should go down. And so we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of him, we have this opportunity afforded to us right now. We can cry, Abba, Father. We can bring all our cares and concerns to you. I love it, Lord, how you said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. You're telling us that no other human being or no other person, place, thing, or thought can do only what you can do. So we cast our cares on you and not each other. Yes, Lord, we do share our burdens with our brothers and sisters. Yes, Lord, we even confess some of our sins so that we can find help with somebody to help pray for us and pray with us so we can get past it. But ultimately, Father, we are to cast our cares on you because there is nobody who can do us like you can. Nobody who knows us like you do. Nobody who loves us and cares about us like you do. You could have ended this whole thing when Adam messed it up in the garden. You could have, like you told Moses, move out of the way. I'm going to wipe them out and start all over. But Lord, you didn't do that. Even at the flood, you left 8 people alive to repopulate this earth so that we would be here today to experience the promise that you made to us in Genesis 3:15. You said that you were going to send somebody who would crush Satan's sin grip on us. You would send somebody who would release us from the power of sin and put us under his power so that we might walk and live according to his word and not the prince of the power of the air. Father, look into the hearts now of your people who are sitting right here, who have come out to your house. They could have stayed at their house, but they came out to your house to lift up some much-deserved praise and worship to you because you're deserving of it. Look now in their hearts. You know what's going on in every one of their lives. As I tell you every day, Father, you know them and you know their needs. They're your people. So I pray, Father, that you would meet their needs. And meet their needs in such a way that they know you did it and don't give credit to anybody but you. Even if you choose to use a human being to meet the need through them, let them know that the need was met through them, not from them. So we don't become dependent on them and start turning to them every time we get a problem. But help us, Lord, to know that you got people. And the people who you have will come and do what you want them to do, but won't leave us with a bill, won't leave us with a guilt trip, won't leave us with regret. But they will bring a good and proper gift at the good and proper time. Bless, Lord, now these your people. Have mercy on us for all of our sins. We confess, everyone, we agree with you. We've done wrong and not right. We thank you for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. Bless now, Father, this preacher with a word that would help this people to understand how not just to survive persecution, but how to thrive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
lost my friend.
Worship team.
Praise
it. Wow. It's kind of hard to even speak after that. Wow. So I wrote down this while the psalmists were singing. How do you know you haven't lost your faith? Because you can praise Him in the midst of whatever is happening with you. That's how we know. So Pastor is going to continue in his sermon series, the book of 1 Thessalonians. He's asked me to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ ministry family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome to all here and those listening through our broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So Paul wrote that while we should expect trouble, we must not let it get the best of us. Although the race we run is fraught with perils, we must concentrate, focusing our faith in Christ Jesus. It's kind of like race car driving. Here's an excerpt from an article that illustrates the parallel. NASCAR races are racious, body-shaking events. There's the rumble of dozens of engines, the screaming of delirious fans, as well as the shouting of the announcers. And just beneath the cacophony, there's a vibration that only the drivers can feel, the rapid pounding of their hearts. At NASCAR races, cars can surpass 200 miles an hour. At such high velocity, drivers must have unwavering concentration and lightning-fast reflexes in order to make steering adjustments to avoid or pass other vehicles, stay in control when making turns, and react to trouble on the track. Inevitably, they experience a stress response, or what's known as fight or flight. Yes, trouble comes on the racetrack of every believer's course to meeting the author and finisher of our faith. And here this morning is one to give us clarity on what God expects and tips on how to run this race. God is blessing us this morning with a message from one who runs races in the natural and spiritual realm, and none other than Pastor Overall. So let's welcome him as he comes. Repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Hey, man. I just put my mask on. Now I can take it off. Amen, church. How y'all doing? Is that? Oh, okay, good. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We need you to help us understand this word and get this word. We find ourselves, Lord, in these last and terrible days. And things are happening just like you said they would. There are wars and rumors of wars. There are famines. And there's pestilence. There's widespread disease. Now, Lord, we got the monkeypox trying to get out of control. So, Jesus, we need to understand how you want us to not just survive this persecution, but how to thrive in this persecution, just like the Thessalonians did. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord, bless my ears. So they hear your word today. Lord, bless my heart. So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and my thoughts, they're not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think by your word. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. You know, I like to remind you what we're talking about and been talking about for, what, last 3 weeks? We've been talking about the Thessalonian church. And Paul had to write a letter to them around AD 51 because they're only about a year old at this time, a year and some days. And Paul wasn't able to stay there as long as he wanted to. But he had gotten some reports about them. So he wanted to write to them about three things. He wanted to commend them for their steadfastness in Christ. He wanted to encourage them because they're going through persecution for being in Christ. And he wanted to help their understanding, to straighten out some misconceptions they had about their loved ones who had passed away. Okay, and for those of them who are yet left alive, they wanted to understand a word called eschatology. It is a study of the end times. Old folks simply said it like this: I've come too far to turn around now. I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. Amen. So the Lord wrote into his word what the end's going to be, but they don't know that yet. They're a baby church. They're only about a year or so old. And remember, they don't have a Bible like we do. Amen? So these letters that Paul are writing to them, and I shared this with Deaconess June Rogers when I sent her my scripture the other day. I am amazed at those people who wrote the Bible. Because when they wrote, they weren't writing knowing that they were going to become a part of a 66 compilation of books called the Bible. They wrote specifically to the people they were writing to. They had no idea, as Peter tells us, that when we consider the scriptures or the prophets who wrote, don't think that they wrote right out of their own thinking or out of their heads, but they wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See, it was the Holy Spirit bringing to their remembrance the things they had learned while they were with Jesus. Amen? And so they wrote. And when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he had no idea that we would be reading that book in 2022. He had no idea that I would be up preaching from that book in 2022. They wrote, amen, honestly, straightforwardly, being led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm amazed by that when you understand what's called the doctrine of the scriptures. That is the teachings about how God's word is inspired and how we can trust it, lean on it, rely on it. Amen. He also noted three things about them. Again, they were steadfast, right? And so that means they were what? Faithful workers. Faithful workers. Amen. They were faithful workers. And number two, amen, they were filled with loving deeds. Amen. Loving deeds. In other words, let your right light shine so people see your what? Your good deeds. And they give glory to who? To God. Amen. And for their enduring faith. These are three things that God wants all of us to have, right? He wants all of us to be steadfast. He wants all of us to be faithful workers. My pastor once told me when I was super unfaithful, he said that I wasn't just unfaithful, I was super duper unfaithful, okay? He said, God rewards faithfulness. If you wanted opportunities to teach, if you wanted opportunities to preach, then be faithful. And whatever God has called you to do, be faithful in that, okay? Amen, right? Be faithful in it. Loving deeds. We're Christians. And there's a whole lot of folk who need help in the world today. So we have great opportunities daily to do loving, kind deeds for other people. Love is what? Love is you doing something good on behalf of somebody else. That's love. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's driven by emotion, but it's not an emotion. Love is an action. It's an active word. Love is what love does. I watched Forrest Gump the other day, and he kept saying, stupid is and stupid does. Amen. That was his answer when people would call him stupid. Stupid is what stupid does. Love is what love does. Amen. Love does not exist by itself. Without any action. You can't say, I love you, and have no actions. Jesus couldn't say, I love you. God so loved the world, and that's it. No, God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Amen? Jesus loved us, so he what? Gave up his life for us. So if we're going to love somebody, then we're going to be givers. Paul said over in Acts chapter 20 that it is far better to do what? Give than what? Receive. Amen. So that's what love is. An enduring faith. Lord, we know today we need enduring faith. Faith that endures hardships. Faith that endures hard times. God allows us to go through, come to hard times to strengthen us. Just like I take myself downstairs 3 times a week and I do some hard exercise. Amen. I jump on my exercise bike to do the arms and your legs at the same time. That's just to warm up for the other exercise. The other exercise is working with 290 pounds and doing 30 curls, and I don't even know what you call this, but whatever you call that, 20 of those. 50 altogether, 10 reps apiece, a minute apart. And then that's my 3-day workout. The rest of it is just living with Sheila. Amen. And there you go. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a real exercise right there, because she loves to keep moving. Amen. Keep doing something. Amen. She always got something. Just walk in another room. Hey, movie, guess what? There's stuff in here, right? You need to get busy on this. So, amen. They call them honeydews. Amen. Amen. So Paul tells them that he admires that. He also tells them that everybody around Macedonia is looking at them to see how to live a Christian life. That's some awesome stuff right there, right? And then he says he goes to other places and he begins to tell them about them, and they start telling him about them. Amen. That they are awesome people. So their Christian life is spreading all over the place, right? You know that when I prayed, I mentioned 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Seek to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands. You'll get the respect of those on the outside. See, Paul said that because the Thessalonians had done that. He could go somewhere else and just mention them, and those folks there had heard about them. Just like Rahab, the prostitute, had heard about what God did to Pharaoh, to the Red Sea, how he kept the children of Israel in the wilderness, and how he brought them across the Jordan River after taking out Sihon and Og. His reputation, his fame had already preceded him. Amen. Ours should be the same way. When I come and ask your neighbor about you, they ought to tell me how awesome your walk with Jesus is. They ought to tell me that you are always there to help out. They should tell me that you mind your own business, work with your own hands. Amen. If I came on your job, they should say, Pastor, they go to your church? Do you have any more of them? Because when they come here, they work like they're working for somebody else and not us, because they exceed our expectations. That's what they tell me when I come on your job. Amen? Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, we're moving right along. Amen. Amen. In chapter 2, he continues loving on them, encouraging on them. But when he gets to the bottom, he says that they had spent such little time with them that he was praying to the Lord that the Lord would allow him to come back, but Satan blocked them. Amen. Sometimes to get us to go the right way, God will allow the devil to block us. When Paul wanted to go to Mysia, he got blocked. And by that time, it was the Holy Spirit that blocked him. God knows how to get us where he wants us. Okay. One time I was struggling with about making a choice. Lord, which way do I go? What do I do? Up or down, in or out? I don't know which way to go. I didn't get no answer. So I came back. Lord, I still don't know which way to go. Up or down, in or out, which way do I go? And finally, it seemed, Chardonnay, that the Lord had got a little upset with me and said, I don't care which way you go, I'll make it right. Just go. Ain't that what Jesus said? Go. Go into all the world. Amen. And as I went, I saw the way. But if I hadn't gone, I would have never seen the way. Amen. So Paul says he wanted to come to them to help fill up the gaps in their faith. He knew that there were certain things that they did not know. And this bothered him. And when we get to chapter 3, he says, when I could no longer stand it, I had to know how you guys were doing. So I sent, now listen how Timothy is described. I sent our brother, Timothy, a co-worker with God, in spreading the gospel. How many folks this week were co-workers with God because you were spreading the gospel? You told somebody that he died, he was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose again. That is called the good news. That's called the gospel. If you're a co-worker with God, then you're busy telling people about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures. God is a co-worker of yours. You're a co-worker of his in spreading that gospel. Amen? So how many of us co-worked with the Lord this week? How many of us told people Jesus died, was buried, amen, and rose again on the third day? And if you just believe that, you'll receive the Lord's salvation. This is what the Thessalonians were doing, but Paul wanted to go back there to fill up the gaps in their faith. They were taking the little bit that they had and running with it. And they were so awesome with it that other people in other places heard about it. And the people in the places where they live commended them and praised them for it. I think what we like to do is go to church. We like to go to Bible class, Sunday school. We like to go to conferences. We like to go to concerts. But we don't like telling people about Jesus. Amen? But if you want to be a co-worker of God, then you have to be a co-worker who helps spread the gospel. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. And where? In Jerusalem? Judea? Samaria? And to the uttermost parts of the earth. Rather than just getting on Facebook and posting pictures of food, even though it looked good, or the places we are, or the places we have been, amen, we should be on there actively, aggressively, every day pursuing lost souls. Why? Because the time is short. The time for us to be witnesses is short. It's awesome to say you're a Christian, but it's even better to be one. Amen. A cow can say I'm a Christian. Amen. You can go stand in the garage and say, I'm a car. But, amen, that won't turn you into a car unless you are a car or become a car. God needs somebody who's willing to go out and tell somebody that Jesus died, was buried according to the scriptures, and rose again. Do you believe that? Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if they say, I believe, I'm willing, the deal is done. Now they need to do what Joel Osteen say. Find yourself a Bible-based church and join the church and the Bible class and the Sunday school and get you some books that you can do some home study. Show God that you really want to be a servant for him. When you do not study your Bible all week long, when you don't attend no Bible classes, no Sunday schools, you're not preparing yourself to be a witness. You're preparing to be church folk. You're preparing to sit on a pew and chew, and that's pretty much all you're going to do. And Jesus let me in heaven. Now, he's going to let you in heaven. But the Lord said, don't you want some rewards? Jesus gave us an incentive plan in Matthew. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. But that's all we do. And we'll even ask Jesus to come get involved in that. Come get involved, Jesus, in my treasures on earth program. Jesus says, no, Russ gonna get that. Thieves gonna get that. Amen. Time or moss gonna come and eat it up. Jesus says, no, rather, use the worldly wealth that I do give you, amen, to make friends for yourself so when you die and pass away and come on home to heaven, amen, you'll be welcomed into heaven. I don't want to just go home saved. If the Lord offers me something, I want it. I do not want to go home saved, just saved. I got saved and that was it. Amen. I sat on that pew. I did my little chew. And that was all I was ever going to do till Jesus came and got me. Okay. Amen. No, God calls Timothy a co-worker. I mean, and this is inspired word of God, right? This is the inspired word of God. And the inspired word of God says that Timothy was a co-worker with God. Don't you want to be a co-worker with God? When you leave this church, when you go down from this place, don't you want to be a co-worker with God? The only way you can be that is to get involved in what God is doing. God's not trying to have a fun or go on a trip or have a party somewhere. God is trying to take out of this world souls for himself. And we should get involved in that. The Lord knows if you're involved in witnessing or not. Amen. I don't want nobody to feel bad this morning, but start using your social media accounts for Jesus. Oh yeah, you can post some of that other stuff, right? But you make sure that you post something for him. Amen. So Paul says that Timothy was a co-worker of God, so we decided to send him with to you to find out how you were doing. His concern was that the tempter had gotten to them and dissuaded them from being a Christian by using persecution, amen, to make them walk away. What does the devil have to do to you to make you stop praising God? What does the devil have to do to you to make you not trust God and go to sleep, okay, but stay up all night wondering? What does he have to do to you? Let me tell you something. Job said, the thing that I feared has happened to me. God knows that your faith is not right, that your trust is not right. Amen. Your comfort zone is not right. It's not in him. So what God will do is let the thing you feared the most happen to you. Not so he can see how you're going to respond. He already knows you're weak in that area. He wants to strengthen you. That's why he let it happen to you. Can you fake your way out of it? You can't fake your way out of it. Can you fake your way out of it? Can you grab a word from God and stand on it? Because it's storming and it's raining. What did Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I want? Say. He says, I'll tell you who can call me Lord, those who dig down. Find a word and they stand on it. And when the storms come, and they coming, and when the rain falls, it's falling. Guess what? When it's all said and done, you're still standing. So Paul wanted to know. He was concerned. And I remember when folks was joining Running for Christ Ministries back in 05 and 03. And I noticed that every time I asked somebody to do something, and they agreed to it, their life turned upside down. They started going through the ringer. And I noticed that the Lord was the one putting them through the ringer. I remember when Jonathan came. Amen. And Jonathan ran as far as he could. He went all the way to North Carolina trying to outrun the call to preach. I only thought about doing that when he called me. He literally ran. He went to North Carolina. Jesus said, like, you can come on back here. Amen. And he accepted the call. And then couldn't find a job for 2 years. Got a double master. Couldn't find a job for 2 years. Losing everything. Having to depend on people like a homeless person. Amen. And I say, Lord, are you going to do that to everybody? Amen. See, God knows what he's calling you to. God knows what kind of strength you're going to need. So Paul was concerned that maybe the tempter, the devil, you know how he does, he came into the garden, he tempted Adam and Eve away from God. They lost. Amen. And he knows the devil. He knows how powerful the devil is. Why? Because the devil used him to attack the church. Yeah. And he hadn't forgotten that. He thought that he was, you remember when Jesus said in Matthew 24, there will be those who when they attack you will think they're doing the will of God. Paul was that person. When he attacked the church, he really believed he was defending Judaism. He was defending the faith. That's what he really believed. And so he went around killing Christians, jailing Christians, breaking up families, because he thought he was doing the will of God. And so his idea was to persecute these people, to beat them down. So Paul understood that when these Thessalonians accepted Jesus Christ and went against the culture, they were going to be attacked. And so he wanted to know, because he wasn't there. He wanted to know, did they survive? I know every week when you go home, that Satan gonna attack you. And I pray to the Lord for y'all every day. I don't know your life, so I don't know what the devil gonna do or what God gonna allow him to do, but he gonna attack. Am I gonna see you again? Or will I see you somewhere out there? We just happen to pass each other and I say, where you at? Amen. Why you don't go to church no more? I haven't seen you in a while. And the first thing usually to come out of their mouth is, I've been going through something, Pastor. It's amazing how we run from the doctor when we get sick. Amen. When we need church, we leave church. When we need God, we walk away from God. I'm going to cling. When the devil show up, I'm getting closer to Jesus. I'm not going to get further away, because that's all he wants. All he wants is for me to get into my feelings. All he wants is for me to get into my thoughts. And guess what? My feelings and my thoughts ain't like God's. They're as far as the heavens is from the earth, that's the difference between our feelings and thoughts. So I'm going to get closer to Jesus. When the devil show up, I'm going to act like a kid. When you scare a kid, what do? They run to that parent. Amen. They don't see their parent and run away from them. No, they run to their parent. Why? Because that's their security. They feel like, if I get over here, ain't nothing you can do to me. Well, if I get over here with my parent, and that's what we should do. Run to God. Jesus says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. We're going to get into situations. We're going to get into circumstances where the devil is going to increase the pressure on us. And the devil is going to let them. God does not want to know how you're going to act. God wants you to see that you're not acting right under pressure. Amen? And Satan gets permission to do the things that he does in our life. And Paul knew the devil. And Paul was concerned that the devil had caused the Thessalonians to turn back. To say this Christian thing, and you know that happened in Christianity. When Protestantism broke out in 1517, and everybody found out that the Catholic Church had been telling them stories and had them doing things they ain't really had to do to be saved, to be made right with God, everybody rushed into Protestantism, even though they didn't completely understand it, amen, versus Catholicism, but they ran into it. Why? Because it offered them freedom from this and freedom from that. Freedom from the terror of, I might end up in hell even though I'm saved. But they came in and found out the only way to make me right with God is simple faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? And it was going well. But around the 1500s, 1600s, a man came along named Ignatius Loyola. Ignatius was a general in the Queen's Army. Okay? But he got hit in the leg with a cannonball. So his ideas of becoming this great general was over. And he figured, since he could not serve his queen on earth, amen, he would serve his queen Mary, because he's Catholic, in heaven. But he started a group, a Reformation group, that is called the Jesuits. And they are here with us today. And the Jesuits had a different way of witnessing. The Jesuits had a different way of leading you to Christ. Rather than trying to kill you if you didn't accept Christ, they would come and make reasonable arguments. Along with the Dominicans, the Franciscans, they were actually Reformation groups inside the Catholic Church, trying to show the leadership a different way on how to make Christians. So everybody came rushing in. Okay, when Protestantism broke out, but when the Jesuits came with a different message, everybody started rushing out. Amen. Satan knows how to get you out. Satan knows how to make you a useless Christian. Satan knows, what does he have to do to you to make your mouth stop? What does he have to do to twist your mind up? What does he have to do to get you to sit down somewhere and just think? And just trip and just cry. What does he have to do? As long as Satan can get through a day without being a co-worker with God trying to save souls, that's a good day for him. If he can keep you away from telling somebody about Jesus, if he can keep you away from trying to teach somebody in Jesus, if he can make your heart so cold you don't want to help somebody in or outside of Jesus, then he's accomplished his day. For him, For us, it's been a bad day. For him, it's been a good day. Why? Because that's one less saved soul going to heaven. That's one less seed that he has to muddy up and cause not to grow. Every time we plant a seed in somebody, he's coming along. And Paul went to Thessalonica and planted a seed in these people. He didn't have a whole lot of time to help them to grow up in Christ. And so with the limited, but what he is impressed with is the limited amount of knowledge that they have about God and how they're thriving under persecution. I mean, you have seasoned Christians going through persecution and quitting. But these Thessalonians are only a year old, don't even have a Bible. All they have is what Paul told them when he was there before he had to leave, and they've taken a little bit of Jesus. You can do a whole lot with a little bit of Jesus. That's why the Lord says all you need is mustard seed faith, and you can move mountains, right? All you need is mustard, and that's all they had was a little bit of Jesus. But what they had, they held on to. And see, here's one thing that you'll never find out if you don't trust the Lord. You'll never find out that there's a ram already in the bush. Amen. Abraham had to exhibit some great faith up on that mountain when God told him to take his own son up there. But you will never see the way out that God has for you unless you trust God while you're in. You will never see your way through the Red Sea unless you trust God at the Red Sea. You will never be able to survive in the wilderness of life unless you trust God in the wilderness of life. You will never be able to stand up against Sihon and Og and their armies, and you don't have one, amen, unless you trust God. You will never get across the Jordan River unless you put your foot right where God told you to put it. Just step in the river. You will never get past the walls of Jericho unless you march around them once, go home, and then on the seventh day, march seven times. Unless you stand, Pastor Barlow, his son Jerome Barlow, preached a sermon about the three Hebrew boys. He entitled it Stooping at Standing Time. I heard that sermon back in the 70s. Stooping at Standing Time. Amen. The Hebrew boys stood. They did not stoop at standing time. Everybody was going to be destroyed. Everybody was going to be killed. Everybody was going to be thrown in the fiery furnace if they did not stand when all the music started playing to celebrate Nebuchadnezzar's new statue. If they bowed down, good. Amen. But if they stood up, the fiery furnace. But you will never see God take the heat out of fire until you stand up for the Lord and be ready to go into the fire. See, Abraham raised a knife and God says, see, now I know. God wasn't just finding out, but Abraham, by experience, had to do something that God couldn't do for him. God couldn't make him raise the knife. God couldn't push the knife down. Abraham had to do that. And because of what Abraham did, if you read the rest of chapter 22 in Genesis, because of what he did, God said, because you trusted me, this is what I'm going to do. You'll never see what God's going to do if you don't learn how to thrive under persecution. Amen? For the world, we don't care how they deal with persecution, how they deal with hard times, how they deal with hardships. But for us, let me tell you what. I'll tell you this. Paul was in that Philippian jail, right? Just before he came here to Thessalonica. That's where he was in Philippi. While they were in the jail, hands to the wall, feet in the stocks, left for dead, right? They sing praises to God at midnight. You want to see what they would have never saw happen if they didn't sing praises to God at midnight? The Bible says they sang praises to God at midnight. Long story short, everybody who heard them singing got saved. The jailer even got saved. And the folks who threw Paul in jail had to come and escort them out of town. You'll never see things like that if you don't learn how to thrive under persecution. You don't just want to survive. You want to thrive. under persecution. Jesus didn't survive the beatings. Jesus didn't survive the cross. He thrived. Why do I say he thrived? Because on the third day he got up with all power in heaven and earth, enough to save every soul sitting in this building, enough to save the estimated 2.5 billion that's saved on this planet. So we have to learn how to manage hard times by using God's word. What does God say? Amen. Trust in the Lord and lean not to what? Thine own understanding, but in all your ways. And he'll do what? He'll show you which way to go. God will always show you the way out. With every temptation, he will show you a way of escape. Not a way of running away from, not a way of backing down from, but God goes forward. He's a forward moving God. Amen. He does not go backwards. When I was living on this ranch in Canada, they had this horse called a Tennessee Walker. Amen. A Tennessee Walker won't go backwards. You can pull on that rein all you want. He's just going to stand there. He is not going back up. Yeah, that's a Tennessee Walker. We had one named Daniel. Daniel came up to a fence, he walked straight through it. Amen. So we put up these hotlines. These designed to shock the horse when Daniel walked right through it. He was that kind of a horse. That's the way God wants us to be. Amen. He wants us to walk through, walk right away from Pharaoh because he brought us out. He wants us to walk right through the Red Sea because he parted it for us. He wants us to thrive in the wilderness because he's providing for us. So Paul is saying to these folks that he could not wait to send Timothy there to find out how they were faring. And oh, how his heart rejoiced, just like mine does, when I see you come back. See, I know what you're going through. I'm your pastor. I know what you're going through. The Lord will ask me to pray. The Lord will tell me to pray. And I don't know who it is or what it is, but I know you're going through. And I know the devil has been given permission slips to take you out of the way. He gets us on Sunday mornings. He can come and make folks not go to church. He can make their bed so comfortable they can't even get out of it and go to church. I mean, think about this, how powerful the devil is. How many Bible classes have you skipped? How many days have gone by and you ain't even cracked your Bible open? How many people have come around you unsaved and you ain't said nothing about Jesus? Or you might think that that's just you. No, see, you don't pay attention to the devil, but he pays attention to you because he knows who you are. If he said that to the seven sons of Sceva, that I know Jesus and Paul, but who are you? That means he knows who you are. He knew the seven sons of Sceva didn't have a right relationship with God, and with the permission slip he had, he could jump out and tear them up. What does the devil know about you? Where is your weakness? Will he find you? Will he find you and get permission slips from God to do this thing to you and shut you down? He knows where you're weak at because he pays more attention to you than you probably do. He watches you when you get a letter and you open it up and start reading it and drop it and fall back. Or he'll go down there and read that. Because see, he can see that and he can read that. And he'll make sure you get a bunch of them. If that's going to push you to the side, if the devil can keep you silent till Jesus come get you, good job for him. But Jesus needs you, amen, to be that witness, to be strong for him. It should do our hearts good when we see each other. Because we know that to get from one week to another, you can go up and down. Like Jonathan asked me, how was your week? He didn't ask me, how was your day? How you doing this morning? How was your week? Because each day Satan brings something. When my phone rings, it's something. My wife will tell you, I get caught up in a whole lot of stuff that's not my stuff. But it comes through the phone. It comes through a text. And I'm not talking about no light stuff either. I'm talking about heavy stuff. I'm talking about people calling you and they're dying. Okay, my own brother is at the point of death. I got that call. Okay, and I got a call. I called him yesterday. He's at home, but he can barely talk two words without coughing. We have the same issue. I guess it runs in our family. I am the one with the worst heart in the family. Okay, and when your heart acts up, you'd be surprised at how many other things it messes up. You see me up here coughing. You have no idea what that comes from, but I do. I have things going on with my skin you wouldn't even believe. I'm allergic to the planet. That's the way I tell Jesus. Amen. I'm allergic to life, Jesus. I'm allergic. Amen. I got, you know what I'm saying? And when I ask him to heal these things, all I get back is what Paul got. My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. No matter how many times I pray. But Paul says it did his heart good, and it does my heart good to see you come here on Sunday. That means whatever the devil tried to do to stop you, to dissuade you, it did not work. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, because it's not just happening here. Have you noticed Joel Osteen's church? Have you noticed on Sundays when they pan the audience? It looks like this. Okay? We don't have that big of a problem because we're just running for Christ and y'all have blessed the church financially. We don't have no financial issues. But when you got the compact center, okay, and the pews look like this. But how many times you see Joel Osteen come out on stage and act like it looked like this? Amen? We're talking about faith. I seen so many things happen to Dr. Tony Evans that I kept watching. I kept watching, and then his son must have been watching too. Then wasn't that his son, Anthony Janice, who came to him and said, look, Daddy, are you ignoring pain, or how are you getting through all of this? You know what he said? I believe what I preach. I believe what I preach. See, you don't get to escape persecution from the devil just because. You don't get to escape it. He don't care. Did the devil not kill 23 kids in Bethlehem? Did he not kill those kids trying to get Jesus? He will kill a baby. 2 years and under, if they were in Bethlehem, they died. The census records, according to that time, say 25 to 30 kids lost their life because Crazy Herod is trying to stop Jesus as a baby. Amen? So nobody gets to escape persecution. If he persecuted Jesus in the wilderness, he's going to persecute us. Now, we might not go through what they went through, but he got his ways of making you, amen, feel that God has forgotten you. That God is not as powerful as God says he is. God can't do the things God said. Joel Osteen cracked me up this morning. He said, when I tell you all these things, you say, but Joel, I tried it for 3 days and it didn't work. You know how Abraham, how long he had to wait on his change to come? 25 years. Amen. He had to get to the place where he had already had a son. The son is 13. God rejected him and said, that ain't the promised son. Your wife gonna have a son. So he had to wait some more years. Amen. What, 12 more years? And then Isaac came. And then when Isaac comes, he tells him to take him up on the hill and sacrifice him. Nobody escapes persecution. Hard times will come. But are you hard enough to survive the hard times that's coming? And I know you've paid attention. Have you paid attention to Texas? It's on fire. It's about to burn off the planet. Their rivers and creeks are literally drying up. Have you looked at Lake Mead, which is fed by Lake Powell, which is fed by the Colorado River? I showed my wife in 1983 that the water towers were covered right up to the top. But in 2022, you can almost see the whole tower, just 900 more feet. and the turbines will not be able to take in any more water to spin up electricity for all of those states to the west. And we're that close to it. Do you know that the ability for them to grow food, Satan is getting so many permission slips from the Lord, it ain't funny. They're running out of food, y'all. And not just here. Do you know Russia just made an agreement with Ukraine to get the grain going again, and then they missiled it? Yeah, they shot a missile over there and start blowing up ships again. Now the grain is stopped. Do you know that's the breadbasket of the world? That's where your bread comes from? You ever read in Revelation where it says a bread that used to cost a penny now costs $100? What he is talking about is widespread famine. Now that's during the tribulation period, but it's starting now. Satan has been given permission slips to step up his program, and we're not paying attention. We're just trying to have fun. We're just trying to go somewhere and do something, see something, be somebody. But Satan is laser focused on doing what he's been doing since the garden, and that is to cause people to turn from following God any way he can. Church folks are his biggest enemy. You are Satan's biggest enemy. And so Satan is going to do everything he can to cause you to turn around. What has Satan done to get you to go through a week and tell nobody about Jesus? What did he do? What does Satan do to get you to not be in Bible class? And we have two Bible classes. Amen. We have Bible classes that's virtual. And what I mean by two is even if you miss the class, you can always click play and hear the class. How many times has Satan prevented you from doing that? What else did he provide you with instead of that? Persecution is real. It's not the same for us as it was for them, but it's real. The purpose of the persecution is to get you to turn away from or turn off God and just get into yourself. That's the persecution. If you're not telling nobody about Jesus, if you're not teaching somebody in Jesus how to live for Jesus, if you are not actively helping people in or outside the body of Christ, then he's had a success. He's had a success. He's got a Christian who just gonna sit on the pew and chew, and that's all they're gonna do. And for him, that's a win. For God, it's a loss. The Lord saved your soul because he got people that you uniquely can reach for him. He's got people who will listen to anything you say. He's got people who will receive help from you, whereas they won't receive it from somebody else. So God needs you to be his co-worker in spreading the gospel. But you cannot be a co-worker if persecution had kicked you to the side. God wants you to thrive, not just survive persecution. Amen? Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your name for sharing with us. We know, Heavenly Father, that we are living in these last and terrible days. And we know that Satan is doing everything he can to dissuade us from doing the work. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that we wake up, open our eyes, and recognize it's morning. And help us, Father, to get up out of this sleep that we've been in and come alive. Come alive for you. Start telling people about Jesus. Give us a way, Lord. If we're scared to go up to somebody and ask them, do they know Jesus? Help us to use social media to just post something. And then, Father, what we post, I pray that you make it work on somebody. Even if we never meet that somebody till we get to heaven, help us, Father, to get to work while we're here on earth. We don't want to come home, Jesus, having led nobody to Christ. We're standing in front of you. We're standing there for rewards for the work that we've done, whether good or bad. We know the bad work just counts for nothing, but the good work is telling somebody about you, teaching somebody in you, helping somebody in or outside of you. So help us, Lord, to do what you said over there in Luke chapter 16. Help us to take the wealth that you give us, use it to make friends for ourselves, And then, Lord, when it's all gone and we passed away, we'll be welcome into eternal dwellings. Not somebody who just got home, but somebody who was welcomed home. Somebody came home to a triumph because we triumphed. But we can't triumph if we don't do anything. Lord, I know that this sermon will not change the devil's plans. But I pray that this sermon make your people understand the situation that we're in and find that we are Christians living in an unchristian world. And as long as we are here, the devil is going to try to stop us at every hand. But I pray, Heavenly Father, just as Paul found out that the Thessalonians did not just survive, but they were thriving, I pray the same thing for every member of Running for Christ Ministry, every member of the body of Christ, that from this moment forward, we no longer just want to survive life, but we want to thrive in life. In Jesus' name, I pray that it come to pass. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
By way of announcements, next Sunday is fifth Sunday. That's not the optional Sunday. Ooh, we got five, I went four. No, come on next Sunday. Because if you don't, you're going to miss something very special. You know that our Minister Jonathan will be bringing the word next Sunday. But also, we got these five little folks that we are going to seek to dedicate ourselves as well as support their parents in bringing them up to know the Lord. So we got the DJ over there. Next Sunday. He waving. You got, you heard, where'd he go? Jedediah? Oh, he up here singing? Yeah, he's down there. Adrian. And then we got Chandler. Got to make sure we get the message to her and his woman. Oh, Lorenzo. Nita's grandson. So next Sunday, come out to support that and be in support of each other. Well, of course, the Bible classes, make sure you get in those. If you missing Sunday school, you are missing something special. I know, some of y'all, it's hard, but make that sacrifice. Get up. Come. We're learning about who Jesus is, who he says he is. And we had a good time these last couple of weeks with Jonathan. He's very interactive. It's right where we need to be. So get to Sunday school, because if you can maybe quote scripture. You maybe know scripture, but do you know why you believe what you believe? See? So make sure you do that. Need your help. Bondage Breaker. It's summer. Giving's down. But they're in winter. Our girls are in school. So if giving is down, we can't support them in school. So we need some generous givers. Also the daycare. Giving is down. We can't keep meeting the needs. One of the things Pastor talked about is in persecution, but also sacrifice, y'all. We got to be cheerful givers to everything that we know is doing what the Lord has said. As one man said, if you have excess, you're robbing the poor. Now, I know some of us don't think about what we have as excess because we know we don't have what some people have. But if you got extra, or you got storehouses, you're robbing the poor because they have need of it. So I'm not begging you, but I'm asking you this week, if you can, reach in your pocket. If it's $5, if it's $500, I gladly take $500. Give, please give. Store up your treasure in heaven where thieves and moths and rust. Y'all know the thieves, y'all see them. Asking people to invest in Bitcoin and in cryptocurrencies. You know the, yeah, exactly. Come on now. Wake up. Let's realize what's going on. let's store up our treasures in heaven, because when we need something, we're not going to them, we're going to heaven to get it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, am I anything else? Continue prayers as you're standing to your feet. Pray for those that are traveling on vacation. Next month, women, is women's focus in the Bible. Men, that does not mean you don't come because it's all about women. Because the bottom line is, maybe if we paid more attention to what God was doing with all of us, we would be better about it. See if our junior praise team has a simple.
Yeah.
All of these things are declared in the name of Jesus. When you give, when you show up, when you live, you declare his name. A lot of people don't listen to what you have to say. They're too busy watching what you do. If what you do does not match what you say, it's a problem. So let's declare his name by doing. us receive our benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Next week, we'll get the birthday song in next week for all y'all July birthdays. Amen. Clear.